The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. This evening, we continue our Bringing America Back to Life series. Tonight, we will feature a presentation from our 2024 convention. Our speakers' ideas will inspire you with principles, experiences, and wisdom as they join us to pave the way back to life through prayer, action, voting, and education. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Mark Hauck, a former college football All-American, a high school teacher, coach and counselor turned activist, a radio host, evangelist, and motivational pro-life speaker. Mark Hauck has done it all. In September 2022, Mark and his wife Ryan Marie and their seven young children made international news with an FBI invasion of their home. Mark was falsely accused with felony violations and faced 11 years in federal prison and a $350,000 fine for his sidewalk counseling and for defending his 12-year-old son from an aggressive abortion escort. Mark was acquitted on all charges on January 30, 2023. In addition to his pro-life work, Mark is the founder and president of the King's Men, a non-profit men's ministry which promotes authentic masculinity, fatherhood, and beloved sonship. This mission has enabled Mark to travel all around the globe as a sought-after retreat leader and conference speaker. As a result of his pro-life work, Mark received the Cardinal John O'Connor Defender of Life Award. He and his family were also named the Catholic Heroes of the Year by Catholic Vote in 2022.
Greetings, everyone. Hello. Good to be with you. I have the lavaliers, so I just want to make sure that it's working. And boy, it's great to be back in Ohio. I was here at Cincinnati Right to Life right before issue one, and then we were here right after issue one. And the difference of the two rooms was stark. It was very heavy at Cincinnati Right to Life prior to the election. And then afterwards, you know, there was this just exhaustion in the room, malaise, apathy. We saw that after my arrest in Pennsylvania. Those numbers that Molly shared are sobering, but we need to hear them. You need to hear those numbers. It's easy to put yourself in your own little cocoon and silo and say, all will be well. But we have a role to play. We have a job. We have a mission. And my talk is really about, restoring and bringing America back to life. But it's really about martyrdom. So this is going to be a real upbeat talk for you tonight, this afternoon. The church grew on the martyrdom, right? The seed of the church, the blood of the martyrs. Bishop Joseph Strickland was the first person to reach out to me after I was arrested. Somehow he got a hold of me and Somehow he got my email and sent me, he said, I'm saying my daily mass for you. It was very comforting, of course, to hear that. I never met Bishop Strickland until the March for Life this year. But I want to tell you something that he said recently this past year, in light of his own persecution and those things. And I'm not here to advance his story, but I do want to share with you the wisdom of the man, which was, and you might have heard this, We need to be first century Christians in the 21st century. That's the message. That's how we bring America back to life. That's how we restore this culture of life in this country. And it's going to be through your own martyrdom, your own dying to self. My story is a compelling one, is one that has a good ending, a very dark middle, an extremely devastating beginning. But it begins, like many of you, with your yes to saving the babies, to your yes to doing your part, wherever that is. I'm blessed today to have my wife, Raya Marie, with me, and many people think she's my daughter, but she is my wife, and she's sitting over there. You'll want to meet her. You'll want to talk to her after this one. But let me take you to the journey, the fateful day, October 13th, 2021. That's the day my son and I went down to Planned Parenthood in Philadelphia. We've been going down there for 20 years, myself, every Wednesday from 12 to 4 or 10 to 2, I'll do a four-hour vigil. So I've been in ministry full-time for 20 years, the King's Men, you heard it, men's ministry, and every Wednesday I would go down to 12th and Locust in Philadelphia. We call it the Gaborhood. That's what it's defined as. By the way, the clock is not ticking, so if you want me to speak for 2 hours, I definitely will. But you're going to need something to remind me. Okay, good. It's ticking now. But that said, I made a decision as a homeschool mom and dad. We made a decision as a couple that we would be intentional about bringing our child and our children into the cultural war, engaging the cultural war. How do you win the cultural war? Through your sanctity and your holiness. That's what Peter Crave said in his book, Winning the Cultural War. It's going to be through your sanctity and your holiness, not necessarily what you know, not your pro-life apologetics. It's important, don't get me wrong, but it's not going to be from winning arguments that we're going to build and restore this nation. It's not going to be from making people feel ashamed for how they feel and what they've been taught and their bad formation. So on this day, I said to my wife, we need to be intentional about initiating Mark, who was 12 years old at the time, into manhood, a rite of passage, if you will. He was in seventh grade, and we're going to bring him down, and he's going to be with his dad, and we were going to engage the culture, and I'm just going to show him what dad does. And that's what you need to do. Just show him what dad does. Show him what mom and dad do. Show your kids that. I have seven kids. You're seeing some of the pictures scrolling on the screen up there. I'm blessed with these seven children. We have seven in heaven and seven on pilgrimage. So in 16 years, we've had 14 babies. That's called Catholic action. That's what they're doing. And we'd welcome many more if God would have them for us. But for those of you who aren't Catholic, that's okay. That's just a joke from an old movement back in the church in the early 20th century spun to make you laugh. But okay, that said, we decided to take Mark, and he's the oldest one. He was 12 at the time, and he was with me for about good 30, 40 vigils in 2021. Now, October 13th is the day the sun danced. Now, I'm going to throw out dates that have very significant meaning to me, and I hope they do to you. And remember, there's no coincidence with God. Remember, coincidence is his way of remaining anonymous, but the reality is God always has a message for us in the day. In fact, the sanctity for you in the day, Father Benedict Rochelle would say this in his book, Spiritual Passages, there's enough grace in the ordinary to make you a saint. In fact, that's where God's grace is most manifest, in the ordinary, the day-to-day, the getting up, the taking care of your children, getting up, going to work, making your bed, and serving your children, serving your community. There's enough grace in that to make you a saint. And so going down to the city, I knew there was great grace there. And this was on the day the sun danced, and last apparition in Fatima, October 13, 2021. On that day, my son was being harassed and badgered by a volunteer escort who I've known for 20 years. Now, many of you know this story, and you know many of this in your local community, and, you know, it is what it is. You know, we just try to be loving in the midst of all this, and I know this man. I've known him, again, for 20 years, and my son got to know him. I believe my son learned the F word from that man. You say, why would you bring your son down to Planned Parenthood, God forbid, and learns that word? He's never heard that word before. Well, there's a greater good than that. You see, I believe there's a greater good being there with my son than that reality, and that God's grace is sufficient, and I can teach my son what that word means and why it's being used and the context it's being used, and I can help him have empathy and sympathy for those that use it and the hurt that it's coming from. So much so, we walked by a guy the other day walking into the pathonitary in my county, and the guy was just, every other word was F word, and I just said, geez, that's... Did you hear that, Mark? And he said, yeah, people just, they don't have a big vocabulary, do they? They're very ignorant, you know, they're just lazy. You know, that's a homeschool boy for you. So anyhow, so on that day, Mark was being badgered, right? You know, verbally abused, if you will. And I was 50 feet away from the entrance. I'm going to give you the whole story. You'll get everything today that you didn't get in the news. CNN didn't do a good job of covering it. MSNBC, I don't think they mentioned it once. When I was acquitted, Hannity only wanted me to do color analysis of the push. That's it. I'm saying, dude, I just got acquitted. 11 years in prison. Can't you? Maybe a better question, like, you know, how are you enjoying your freedom? Like, wouldn't that be a great question? Ben Carson asked me that question. Hannity just said, describe this push for me. Tell me what's going on here. I'm like, Hannity, are you serious? Anyhow, they get what they want, and that's what they want. So I had to do what any good dad would do. I stepped in. I intervened. I told the man, you got to stop. And he wouldn't stop. He kept badgering and badgering. And then eventually it got to the point where I had to shove the man away from my son. Now, some pro-lifers highly criticized me for that. Most didn't. Lot said, yeah, it's a bad example of for a pro-life person. I said, you know, look, I'm not saying we should all do that. But when a boy is being abused in front of you, you have a duty, a responsibility to protect that boy. Some people say you should, amen, amen. And one guy's not clapping, so look, it's okay. But look, you just do what you have to do. You stay at your post. And you respond and you react. It's not like it's something I premeditated. I pushed the guy. I neutralized the target. I didn't hurt the man. He got right back up. In the city of Philadelphia, a shove is not a big deal. It happens every weekend at the Eagles game. And, you know, the DA was not interested in it. The Philadelphia PD was not interested in it. It was just two men on a street corner having an altercation. And so that's all it was. And he stopped, and I say, am I protecting my boy? No. We did a holy hour for Bruce right after that, and then we came back, and we gave a statement to the civil affairs who were there. So, and then we left, and that was it. And that's all it was. And then he pressed charges. Okay, fine. I went to court, 4 appearances in court, and everything was dismissed. The man didn't even bother showing up for court. That's how interested he was in the case. But here's what was happening, and this is where the FBI comes in. This is where the weaponization of the government comes in. And this is where you need to know that you live in a police state. This is part of this. When you bring back America, you better understand that you live in a police state. You better understand, if you're going to exercise your First Amendment rights, that you are a threat, that you're an enemy of the state. That's my message for you today. I know it's not a popular one, but you better know that. Most of you know that. Some of you don't know that. Some of you actually think, no, that's not true. But what I'm about to tell you is going to bring this to life to you. So the feds were watching this. This is all pre-Dobbs leak. The pre-Dobbs leak is going to come in May of 2022. I'm acquitted on April 22nd. All charges, everything's... Actually, I'm not acquitted. It's dismissed. It doesn't even go to trial in that local state court issue. Doesn't even go to trial because the guy didn't show up for court. The feds were watching it. I returned triumphantly with my son back to 12th and Locust on the 27th, 5 days later. And the feds are there to hand me a target letter. What's a target letter? A target letter is a letter that says you're a target of a federal grand jury investigation. What's a grand jury investigation? That's a collection of hearsay of people who want to say whatever they want to say about you to get you indicted. All right, you're a target of a federal grand jury investigation under potential indictment under the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. Bad law created in 1993 under Bill Clinton. Ted Kennedy, Chuck Schumer, those guys put forward this law. And you need to know about this law, and Thomas More Society, who's here, found this out, is when Ted Kennedy was bringing this to the House floor, Senator David Dorenberger from Minnesota said, does this apply to pro-lifers, volunteers outside the building, and escorts? And he said, it absolutely does not apply. It's only for those in the building. It's important for you to know that. The bill is bad law. The act should be repealed. And we don't have time to get into that. But nonetheless, the feds served me this target letter. So what that tells you is that the feds were watching this. And of course, they're aware of what's coming down with Dobbs. Now, Dobbs is leaked early May. And then, of course, June 24th, Dobbs overturns Roe. But right after I got that target letter, Matt Heffron from the Thomas More Society, former federal prosecutor, reached out to the AUSA, Assistant U.S. Attorney in Philadelphia Eastern District, and said, you have no case. My client's innocent. However, should you want to indict my client, no need to bring an agent out to his house. He's a peaceful man. We'll bring him to you. Oh, and by the way, you can pick him up every Wednesday on the street where you served him. Okay? So there you go. Case law in your own district. Okay, so Dobbs overturns Roe. You know that. We're all excited. And then, of course, Joe Biden comes to Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and he says, we'll codify Roe. We'll defend abortion rights. Then Mar-a-Lago happens. And then, of course, pro-lifers start getting picked up. Joan Andrews Bell's arrested. And you see the journey of the summer of 2022. Now, nothing's happening with my case because my case is a little different, a lot different. But nonetheless, my attorney reaches out to me in August of 2022 and says, have you heard from the assistant U.S. attorney? I said, no. Why would I have heard from her? He said, well, she won't return my phone calls. I said, well, maybe it's just let sleeping dogs lie. There's no case here. He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So that's what we did. All right, now I'm going to take you into how we became international news. So on September 23rd, the Feast of St. Pio, St. Padre Pio. I think there's Pio Academy out there. That's right. I was up early because it's a co-op day. I know we have some homeschool families in here. You know, on a co-op day, that's when you get up and you go and you leave the homeschool and you drag your knuckles with your kids, you know, to the homeschool and you meet other people. And the kids have classes. And it's a fun day. I teach a few classes there. And I'm excited, so I'm up at 6 a.m. I'm not normally up at 6 a.m., but on this day I'm up at 6 a.m. because I want to put a quiche in the oven. I got a quiche in the oven because real men eat quiche, right? And they bake, right? So I wasn't kneading the dough, but I put it in the oven. So my wife, I barely, you know, I woke her up, and she's barely stirring, I'm sure, at this point. And the kids are all asleep, all seven of them. Now, in Pennsylvania, just like here in Ohio, at around 6:30 in the morning, it's dark in September. The sun's just starting to creep up, but it's still pretty dark. So all of a sudden, I'm going to get kind of into this talk with some noise, okay? So if you jump and you get scared, it's all by design, I can assure you. But all of a sudden, at 6:30 in the morning, there's a heavy bang at my door. Doorbell rings over and over again. I'm just like, what? I'm not thinking target letter. I'm thinking, what madman is outside of my door right now? The person yells, open up! Okay. So I grab my gun, because that's what you do in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, when somebody comes to your door unannounced, right? A lot of Second Amendment right believers in here. Look, I don't own a gun. I don't own a gun. I wish I owned a gun. I don't own a gun because I don't want the armory in my house right now. I have babies and little kids, and we have airsoft guns and stuff. But I love guns, and I shoot them. But I don't have a gun. So I had the next best thing. I took my spatula with me to the door. All right. So I go to the door and I'm like, you know, what? Who is this? And how do I take authority over this thing? You know, I'm the bishop of my home. St. Augustine said that men are heads of the home, but they're bishops of the home. So fellow bishops, this is what you do. You take authority over the evil that's surrounding your home. You slay those dragons. First up, last to bed. So I go to the door and I say, who is it? Like, how dare you, right? Come to my door. Now, I can't see what's going on. I have double solid doors. So the person, doorbell rings over and over again. Open up. It's the FBI. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up! That's exactly how it went down. Also, I said, stay calm. I'm at the door. Stay calm. I have seven babies in here. Please stay calm. That's just what I said. I think when a man hears babies and he's on a pre-dawn raid, he's not thinking babies when I arrest a bad guy when I'm with the FBI. He thinks, oh my gosh, like someone's going to get hurt here. So I open the door and I'll tell you exactly what I saw. Five federal agents right on my porch. M16 guns pointed at me. Ballistic helmets, ballistic shields, heavily armored vests, two battering rams. M16 guns pointed at me. Okay? Not making this stuff up. Then 10 marked and unmarked units on the property surrounding the house lined up to the road, about 100 yards to the road. PA state troopers with pistols drawn behind their doors. At least two SWAT guys at the back door with M16 guns. My third youngest child, she's kissing me on my right cheek there in that picture. She's my anxious one. There she is, right there next to her little brother on the left. Therese escapes Mark's barricade and comes down. And, of course, the anxious one is staring down the two M16 guns at the back door with two SWAT guys there. And, of course, we all have PTSD to this day. Because when you wake up as a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old child and you wake up and M16 guns are pointed at you, you remember that for the rest of your life. And of course, we do. And that's the reality of it. And then, of course, there were other door entrances that I'm sure were covered. So about 20-plus federal agents and PA state troopers. And I come out like you would come out and say, what are you doing here? That's what I said. They patted me down, but they didn't really say anything else. I think they were in shock. I think it was like the Sanhedrin with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And like, we're here for Jesus the Nazarene. I am he. And they just kind of, you know. Well, they didn't do that, but they didn't really say anything. I said, what are you doing here? You know why we're here. I said, no, no. Oh, you're here because I rescue babies. And I'm looking at them, right? They're just looking at me, and the guns are on me. And I said, you know, you wouldn't be here if the Trump administration was in the White House. Don't ask me. That's why I said it. I don't know why I said it. Okay. It's just what I said. He wouldn't have wasted the money, right? Plus, he wouldn't be coming after pro-lifers. But they just kind of looked at me. Now, my wife is awake at this point. I call her the lioness. She's awake, and she's coming down the steps with her leopard bathrobe on, and she's tightening the belt, okay? So I don't see this, but now the guns are in the home. She's a downrange, and the kids are all on the steps, and they're all downrange in the line of fire. And Ryan Reed comes down like any mama bear would and takes authority over everything. And she says, who are you here for? And they say, him. Well, what's his name? Mark Howe. Do you have a warrant for his arrest? And I'm like, where is she getting this information? Because I didn't think to say that. And she said, we're taking him, ma'am, with or without a warrant. Now, hear that, because that's the country you live in. Cardinal Gerhard Mueller comes to my doorstep 2 weeks after this, and he says, you know, tyranny and dictatorships are coming when they wake sleeping children in the middle of the night and arrest their father at gunpoint. Friends, that's where you live right now. That is America. In your communication from the pulpit for the clergy in the room, you need to communicate that. In your communication to your people, your flock, be a good shepherd. Tell them these realities. Not to scare them, but to make them aware. And she says, you can't do that. That's kidnapping at gunpoint, she says to the feds. And they don't say anything. Now, they're supposed to tell you they have a warrant. They don't have to produce it, but they got to tell you they have it. That's an unlawful search and seizure if they don't tell you. Violation of the Fourth Amendment. Right? That cannot happen. That is not allowed to happen. So clearly now the kids are all screaming. The guns are in the home. They're pointed at Ryan Marie. And what's a man left to do, just like the man on the sidewalk? He's got to protect his family. What do you want me to do? I go down to the federal building with them. Now, I know I'm going to be leaving, so I say, can I get some clothes on? No. I'm wearing shorts, T-shirt, and a pair of flip-flops. Can I brush my teeth? No. Can I put some deodorant on? No. How about a sweatshirt? It's cold outside. No. Socks? No. Shoes? No. Can I take my rosary? Yes. They let me take my rosary. Look, this thing's powerful. This thing's powerful. And so, yeah. It gets worse. So Ryan Marie is, they get her away from the door, and she's a bit of an obstacle to the feds right now. And, of course, they arrest me as soon as she gets away from the door. She's tending to the children who are screaming, and as a mom should, and they cuff me, and they don't even let me say goodbye to my children. My boy Joshua, who you'll see in the picture, he's right there, and let's see, where is he? He's over to the left behind Ryan Marie in that picture with my brother's arms, or his brother's arms. And he says, please don't take him. He's my best friend. This stuff never leaves you. You need to remember these things. So they take me down to the federal building, which is 100 yards from Independence Hall, where our declaration was declared and our Constitution was developed, where our rights were established. Now, these rights were already established, our God-given rights that the Constitution supports. So there I'm in the car, and I'm driving down. I said, why so many of you? No, sir, we don't know anything about you. You know what? Most of them didn't, but the lead agent did. And we get down there, and the driver from St. Louis, he says, hey, man, I got to go, but it was a real pleasure meeting you. The driver says that to me. I said, great, let's do the same time next Saturday. And thank God he had the courage to say that in front of his peers, but he knew I was an innocent man. They fingerprinted me and mugshotted me, and then they do something that I can't still to this day understand why. They belly shackle me. What's that for? They ankle shackle me. If you ever worn ankle shackles, they're not meant to be walked in. I got bare ankles. And then they bring me to a white room and they chain me to a table for 6 hours. They cuff me to a table. Now, I got to tell you, friends, I'm going to step away from this podium. I've never been closer to Christ in my entire life. You want to grow closer to Jesus? Do yourself a favor. Get arrested by the FBI. I'm telling you. Friends, my will and God's will were perfectly one. Now, that's called the unit of way. I knew that I did nothing wrong, and I knew that I was being persecuted for a righteous cause. And I had peace in my heart. Hang on, I'll give you an applause moment in a second. I had peace in my heart. I had peace in my heart. I had joy in my heart. Consider it pure joy when you suffer persecutions of many kinds. I had joy. I had forgiveness in my heart. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't been preparing for 20 years for that moment. You see, there's a saying that God gives you the grace for martyrdom when it comes. Well, you can't be living a life unpleasing to God and be like, oh, he's just going to give me the grace for martyrdom when it comes. Look, I was preparing for martyrdom, not because I've been married to that woman for 20 years. That does help. But I've been dying to self in service to my wife and children and in my ministry. So I had peace, men and women here, that are here and young people. I totally prayed without ceasing for the first time. Have you ever prayed without ceasing for 6 hours? Well, this is why, Protestant friends, a rosary is really helpful. Because you can pray mysteries and meditations and, you know, and you have a lot to pray. I mean, I can't free flow prayer for 6 hours. I'm going to be exhausted. But I can count beads for 6 hours. And this is a chain from heaven. This came right from Mary herself down to earth. This is a link to heaven. Okay? So I took my rosary and I was connected to heaven. There's your applause moment. Thank you. So there I was praying without ceasing. And just, you know, I don't know when I'm going back. I don't know if I'm going to see my family again. The January 6th people are still in prison to this day, some of them. So I don't know when I'm going back. But I said, you know what, Lord, you take care of them. And I'll do your will. Sign me up. Here I am, whatever you want. This is how I was talking. I was talking to St. Peter and Maximilian and Paul. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to work out, right, guys? And they're like, well, didn't really go the way we thought it was going to go either. And I'm like, well, you know, so I'm calling on the communion of saints, the guardian and the angels. I'm feeling the feathers of my guardian angel. And I'm just overjoyed. And yet, nervous and scared all at once. But the joy and the peace surrounded me beyond those other fears. And so after about 6 hours, they say, well, you're going to be released on your own recognizance, which tells you I'm not a flight risk. I'm not a violent offender. I'm not a threat to the community. And that's why you bring a heavy rate to someone's house when they're one of those three things. That's why you bring that heavy rate. Bad guy there. You better have the money. Look, I believe that I was supposed to be shot that day. I do believe that. I think they were hoping it would happen. But God would not allow it to happen. And praise the Lord for that. Because what I'm about to tell you becomes our story. And what I'm doing now with my life is our story. And so the Lord gave me two visions when I went home. I was reunited with the family 10 hours later. Gave me two visions. And I don't get visions, okay? I don't have that gift. But I got two visions. You're going to go to the State of the Union. Yeah, the one that was last night. But I went last year. And you're going to carry the way of the cross with me. And I thought, okay, Lord. I'm going to have my own Via Dolorosa, he tells me. I said, okay. So as we leave the federal building to go down to U.S. Marshals, they keep the belly shackle and the ankle shackles on me just to humiliate you a little bit more and send the message, discontinue what you're doing. Disengage, making an example of you, humiliating you and instilling fear in you. That's all that it's for. The process is the punishment. That's why Joan Andrews Bell is locked up right now, because they want to punish her. You could have sent her home until sentencing. No, they want to punish 74-year-old Joan Andrews Bell. Friends, it's coming to your door, but I'm telling you, there's glory in it. Don't be afraid of it. Please don't be afraid of it. Sanctity's there. God's will is there. Don't be afraid of this. Saint Hippolytus said that the saints at the end times would be the greatest saints. Why? Because they would confront and defeat the accuser. And the attack on the family, Pope John Paul II said, will be the last attack. And that's exactly where we are. You are living in a time to be a great saint. A great saint. And so you need to embrace this. In Philadelphia, after my arrest, a lot of pro-life people stopped coming out to the abortion mills. It was hard to get them out. Still to this day it is. It's too close to home. I know, Mark. I'm not going there. I went there. As soon as I was acquitted, I went right back with the family. And I'm going to tell you this, not because I want you to clap for me. It's just because this is where the Lord wants to take you. And so he tells me, you're going to walk the way of the cross with you. And as I'm walking down with belly shackles and Jim Caviezel style, and you know, I said, do you have a heavy cross for me to carry? They said, I don't have a heavy cross for you to carry. I said, well, it's coming. And the Lord said, you're going to carry the way of the cross with me. So I'm going to go in the next 15 minutes. I'm going to take you right into the trial. Andy Bath from Thomas More Society is here. He was right there too. Thomas More Society. I can't say enough good about the Thomas More Society. They were there from the beginning. And they never left my side. And they're still supporting me. Praise be to Jesus Christ. So look, the 5 days later was sentencing. That was easy. That was station one, pilot. I went before Judge Papert. I'm literally before a judge. That's an easy one. This is all real time, by the way. I didn't reflect on this afterwards and be like, wow, I just went through the Station of the Cross. I experienced them all in real time. So I said, not guilty, of course, and that's what you say. Now, we looked for the best attorney in Philadelphia. We called Jesse Barrett. You know who Jesse Barrett is? Amy Coney Barrett's husband, the Supreme Court Justice. And Jesse said he wanted to take the case. He said he'd take it. But he said, you don't want me. You want Brian McMonagle. Brian McMonagle defended Bill Cosby in Philadelphia. He got Bill Cosby a hung jury. That's how talented Brian McMonagle is. Now, Brian McMonagle says to Thomas More Society, you know, there's plenty of good, competent lawyers here in Philadelphia that would do this case pro bono. It's not the way I work. So, look, I'm not cheap. And Thomas More said, we want the best. We got Brian McMonagle. When we showed up for that sentencing that first day, the assistant U.S. attorney looked at Brian McMonagle and said, wow, these guys brought out the big guns. Here's what you need to know. The Lord will fight for you. All you must do is remain still. This is Moses' words to the Israelites. Remain still and watch. The Lord will fight for you. This is what you have to do. Paul Vaughn, he's saying this. This is God. God has this. God has this under control. That's all you have to do is surrender to that. So we began marching. We embraced that cross. When the Lord gives you a cross, you embrace it. And I know many of you in this room have a lot of crosses. Cancer is a cross, right? You hear that diagnosis and you're like, embrace that? The Lord, every time he gives you a cross, he is inviting you to become more like him, to walk with him. You understand your life through the lens of his life. Fulton Sheen, Venerable Fulton Sheen, said, the greatest cross in life is not to have one. So don't run from your cross, run to it. Embrace it. Don't try to bring it to your life. It will come. Be pro-life. Be Catholic. Be Christian. And it will come. When you see it, embrace it. So I just embraced that cross. Now the whole world, you're included in this, started pouring out love upon the family. Upon Ryan Marie, upon me. And like, it was just incredible, the love. Europe started praying again. Europe was praying again. That's like a miracle. And then like a whole Ugandan village sent a message to Ryan Ray and the kids. And each villager was holding like a letter and it said, we pray for Mark Houck. And I'm like, wow, how blessed am I? Then Mother Teresa's nuns in Calcutta put a picture of our family, kind of like that one, right on her sarcophagus. And sent it to the family and said, we're praying for you here every day. Wow, amazing. A man reached out to me in the heartland of America, and he said, I'm a lousy Catholic, but seeing what's happening to you is bringing me back to the church. And I thought, yeah. I thought, we're done here. I don't need to do any more. Like, you save a soul, you save your own soul. Like, I would do it for that guy. Are you kidding me? You don't measure this in big numbers. Don't measure this. Measure it in one soul number. That's it. And then, like, people start saying weird stuff. Cardinal Mueller comes to my home, as I told you, 2 weeks later. And he says, you're like Martin Luther King. I share that with a diverse audience. I'm nervous saying that. Because I'm no Martin Luther King. And he said, yeah, you're like, you'd be even more important than babies. Well, who am I to argue with 6'5", 240-pound Gerhard Mueller? But there he is saying, he says, you're going to be persecuted just like Martin Luther King was. And then I walk into my church, a neighboring church. It's not my one I'm registered at, but my, you know, as Catholics, we can go to wherever we want. You know, we got the luxury of all that. So I walk in, and the priest is like, you're a living saint. And I'm like, you're embarrassing me, and you're devaluing the currency. I said it. Cardinal Pell said it first, but that's what I said. I said, no, what are you talking about? Papers are saying hero, pro-life hero. One person said, you're like Joan of Arc. Mark Twain said, Joan of Arc was the greatest human being that ever lived. I'm no Joan of Arc. Then I'm at Legatus. I was invited to Legatus in Orlando, Florida, to replace Coach Lou Holtz. Yeah. I couldn't get a sniff before I got arrested by the FBI. Now they want me to replace Lou Holtz? I said, that's fine. Just pay me what you're paying Lou Holtz. I'm happy to come. They said, we're not going to do that. I said, well, that's all right. I'll still come. somebody there standing next to me, and he says, I feel like I'm standing next to Jesus Christ. And that's tough to live up to, isn't it? Yeah, I didn't like it at all. In fact, I like none of what I just shared with you. That became station three. It was a weight of expectation and the world that was just too much for any human being to bear. We couldn't pray enough. We couldn't thank God enough. And it was just overwhelming. The gift was the burden, and it was just crushing. Not to sin, but just the expectations of everybody. I know who I truly am. I know my weaknesses. But the world saw this just yes to God and this public witness that was inspiring them. And I guess that's what they were compelled to say. But nonetheless, that was a weight that was crushing. I'm going to take you to station 4, 5, and 6 real quickly. And that was like November. I was, you know, arrested on September 23rd. And we're like in November. So Our Lady was with us, of course, very close. But Simon and Veronica, they started coming out of the woodworks. They started coming, hey, can we take you out to lunch? People were bringing meals to Ryan Marie and the kids. And it was like 2 months of just generosity and just an outpouring of love. And man, you were like, this is pretty good. This feels great. Those are stations of consolation. And I wanted to just stay there. Stay in the arms of our mother, our lady, and just rest there. But you know what? What comes right after station six is station seven. It gets really dark there, extremely dark there. Jesus falls the second time. For me, it was the devil, the father of lies, the accusers come and say, I know you. I know all about you. You're no hero. I know you better than you know yourself. They may think you're this guy, but I know the real guy. And so I started hearing this voice. Now I got the full armor of God on. I'm a man of faith. I got the shield of faith. I got the helmet of salvation. I got the sword of the Spirit, breastplate of righteousness, girding my loins with the truth, gospel shoes. But the shield came down a little bit. When the arrow came, it got me. And I started to embrace it. Yeah, I am that guy. And for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I was in complete darkness. And to spare the children here, I would just say that all the old man came forward. And the old man was ugly. The evil twin was ugly. And I went to my spiritual director and I said, I can't do this. God has chosen the wrong guy. You know, Bishop Joe Coffey reached out to me the day of the arrest and he said, they picked on the wrong guy. That's what Father Bishop Joe Coffey said. And I was like, I felt good when I had. But, you know, I said to Father Doug McKay, I said, they got the wrong guy. I can't do this. He said, yes, you can, Mark. Let me tell you a story about St. Catherine of Siena. I said, okay. I like saints. Tell me a story. Well, St. Catherine of Siena struggled with visions of lust. She was 35 years old when she died, you know, young, pretty girl, you know, infused knowledge, papal counselor. And she struggled with visions of lust. And she confronted the Lord. And she said, Lord, where are you? This was in the Magnificat last month. They wrote about it. But where are you, Lord? And he said, Catherine, I'm right there. How could you be there, Lord? This is awful. This is terrible. The temptations, all of it. Catherine, did you take any pleasure in it? No, Lord. You know I took no pleasure in it. Catherine, that was because of me. And then my spiritual director went a little further and he says, look, Mark, if you take no pleasure in it, there's no sin in it. Now, he wasn't prophetically speaking over me, but that's what he told me. And he said, I want to tell you another story about Mother Teresa. You know Mother Teresa? I said, yeah, I met her when I was at Catholic University. And he said, well, Mother was in D.C. in 1994, and she was giving a talk at the National Prayer Breakfast. And the journalists all surrounded her afterwards, and this is where she talks about abortion, I think. Or maybe that might have been 87. But nonetheless, she talks about abortion again. And they said, Mother, what's the hardest thing about being mother? And Mother Teresa. And she looks down. And then they said, is it working with the lepers in Calcutta, Mother? Is that the hardest thing? And she said, no, it's easy to see Jesus in the lepers. And then she looks down again. And then she looks up at them with great courage and says, the hardest thing for me is chastity. 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 I said, thank you, Father. Thank you for the homily. I can move forward. Now, I knew the evil one was going to come back again, but suffice it to say, Station 8 was there. And that was Sister Jacinta and Mother Miriam and her sister Miriam and her mother coming down from Buffalo, New York with a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Oh, yeah. Drove down to Buffalo to give me a Charlie Brown Christmas tree with all these novenas and, holy hours, masses. And she said, "We're so sorry for you." I said, "Don't be sorry for me. Weep for my children. They're not going to have their father in a short while." You see, friends, not only was that at Station 8, unbelievably so, but I had done a lot of research about when the federal government comes after you. Now, here are these numbers. You heard some numbers from Molly. 98% conviction rate when the federal government comes after you. 98% conviction rate. You are going to prison. Prepare for it, as I was. I was on my phone. Life in federal prison. What's that look like, you know? Don't do that, by the way. Don't Google that. But I did it because I knew I was going to prison. And I took my former federal prosecutor, chairman of my board for my ministry, Pat Murray. I said, "Pat, is the government going to give me some time with my kids?" "Yeah, you'll probably get 3 months, Marks, before they sentence you." I said, "Oh, that's great." He said, "But that's if they want to be nice to you." I said, "They don't want to be nice to me." He said, "Well, you get locked up right away." And isn't that what they did with Joan Andrews Bell? So I said, when Mother Miriam and Sister Jacinta and her sister come, and I say, "Weep not for me, weep for my children," I meant it. They're not going to have their father. And I'm like, I'm at Station 8. I can't believe it. I wasn't trying to recreate it, folks. And I said to my former federal prosecutor friend, Pat, I said, "Is the government going to send me to like Allenwood, PA? That's like an hour from my house, max security, because I got an assault charge because I pushed a guy. Will they send me there? It's like an hour from my house." He's, "No, you'll probably go to Denver or Leavenworth, Kansas." See, this is what they're going to do to you. But don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. And I said, "Okay." So it just is what it is, friends. It just is what it is. You want to bring America back to life? You got to be willing to do this. I want to bring America back to life. I want to be part of the culture of life. But don't let me get arrested, Jesus. Because I didn't sign up for that. Guess what? I didn't either. But it's part of the equation. You want to do this? You better be all in. My message to you today is be all in. Be the martyr that God wants you to be. And that's a witness, right? Be the witness that God wants you to be. So I knew Station 10, 11, 12, and 13, and 14 were going to come at the trial. But, you know, there was still Station 9 looming. And it's about December at this point. Late December. And I say to Pat Murray, my attorney friend, "Is the government going to come in with a plea deal?" He said, "No, Mark, that's got to come from you." I said, "Well, I'm not asking for a plea." He said, "Well, you're not going to get one." I said, "Well, okay. Don't you know that the government comes in with a plea on January 6th of all days?" Yeah, at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a Friday afternoon. Here's the plea deal. I'm facing 11 years in prison, $350,000 in fines, and 3 years supervised probation. No time, no fine, no probation. That's called a sweetheart deal. You get that deal, you take that deal every time. You take it every time. In fact, my own attorney told me to take the deal, Brian McMonagle. I said, "I'm not taking that deal." He said, "Go home and talk to your wife. You don't know what you're saying." "Fine, I'll go home and talk to my wife." So there she is right there. I said, "Ryan Marie, the government came in with a plea deal." She says, "Oh yeah, what's that?" Just as indignant with the day she came down with the arrest. I said, "No time, no fine, no probation." She said, "And? We'll just plead guilty to the assault charge." She says, "You're not going to take that deal." I said, "I'm not." She said, "No, because you're innocent. And you're not a coward." I didn't marry a coward. It's a cowardly deal. And then she said, "Mark, should you want to take this deal, because I can't make this decision for you, it's your decision to make. We want you to know, if you take the deal, don't bother coming home." "Don't bother coming home. We got this, husband. We can handle this. You go off in mission." Spartan woman says to her husband, "Go off to war. Come back with your shield or come back on it. But we are here. I got this. Stay in mission. Do what you need to do." She knew I needed to hear that. As much as her heart broke to say it, she knew I needed to hear it. And I never was going to take that deal. But she knew I needed her support. And then she said something better. And this is my true message for you today. She said, "Mark, we got to be all in. We got to do this for the good of the movement. United States versus Hauk is a big deal. If we take this conviction and plead guilty, All the sidewalk counselors are held out to dry. All of them are now exposed. All First Amendment right believers. We have to do it for the good of the movement. We got to be all in. Are you all in? You can come to a conference, and I'm not chastising anybody here, but are you all in? Well, I know you are, but the reality is that some of us aren't. We're not all in. We want it where it's easy, but the cross is never easy. Folks, I came back to the attorneys. I said, I'm not taking that deal. He said, you got to be kidding me. The government couldn't believe it. They were astounded. And, of course, Station 9 came very quickly, and he came back the same way. But I went to confession to give myself spiritual nutrition in advance, to arm myself, equip myself with what I needed. And we vanquished him very quickly. But he came back the same way. He's got these same tricks. Just be smart. He's smarter than you, but just use your gifts that you have. And so we vanquished him only about a day or two of real struggle and some temptation there. But I want you to know, Station 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 all came at the trial. And it's everything you could imagine. Stripping, nailing, all of it. Calumny, disparagement, everything that you can imagine in a federal trial. My judge said, I've never in 9 years on the bench, Obama appointee, ever had anyone from the Justice Department come up for a federal case. This must be important. So let me say this. I don't have time to get into full details, but my son was my only witness, and he testified. Can you imagine the pressure and the stress on a 14-year-old boy who's testifying in the federal trial of his father? If he says something wrong, his father goes to prison. Now, I had to be a lamb at the slaughter the whole time. That's how I was. You just have to be a lamb. When they come after you, don't fight back. Just receive. Receive the gift. Receive it. And be a lamb to the slaughter. And so I sat there, and every day I opened the scriptures. And, of course, I testified on the last day with my son. And, of course, they came in as slippery and slimy as you can imagine. You believe call them murderers, don't you, Mr. Houck? No, I don't. You believe they're baby killers, don't you, Mr. Houck? No, I don't. Well, what do you believe, Mr. Houck? I said, well, they're collaborators in the evil of abortion. So they are baby killers, right? No, they're sinners just like me. Look, this is your chance to witness to who you are. Don't worry about your defense. God will give you the words. Truly, these words were spoken over us and lived by me. And so we continued on, and we rested. We came off the stand, which was elevated like a piece of wood above the jury, and we came off.
You've been listening to Mark Houck, evangelist, motivational pro-life speaker, and a 2024 presenter at the Bringing America Back to Life convention. Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say goodnight and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org. Or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure, or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.